You're listening to SBS News.
The International Commission on Missing Persons opened an office in Kyiv in July to document and track down those who have disappeared during the war in Ukraine, and they've just produced some troubling numbers. Europe Programme Director Matthew Holliday says they believe more than 15,000 are missing, either dead or forcibly moved or imprisoned by Russia. Meanwhile, Ukrainian authorities have maintained their message to the international community. Deputy Minister of Internal Affairs Mary Akopian has just shown some high-ranking European officials the aftermath of a deadly Russian missile strike in the capital of Kyiv.
Here we have the strikes of several missiles. We have three dead civilians. Two of them were simply moving in the car. Two girls were crossing the road. One of them, a 17-year-old girl, died.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been equally vocal on the world stage. He's just urged the United Nations to punish Russia for targeting civilians, and the president wants the Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe, the OSCE, to step up the pressure on Moscow.
We see various international platforms finding the necessary solutions to help stop Russian terror, isolate the terrorist state as much as possible, and find a way out of the brutal global crisis created by Russia. But why is there still no OSCE among these platforms? Why in particular is a terrorist state, even after 9 months of its continuous crimes, still a member of your parliamentary assembly?
While officials press their case in the international community, Ukrainians have been struggling to cope with increasing darkness. Moscow acknowledges attacking infrastructure, but rejects the repeated allegations it's deliberately aiming for civilians. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov.
There have been no strikes on social facilities and there is no special attention to this. As for the targets that are related to military potential, they are subject to destruction. This work continues.
Yet, if the aim is to reduce Ukraine's ability to fight and push it to negotiate, the strikes appear to be having the opposite effect. Ukrainians seem more determined than ever to bunker down, like Vadim Polyakov, a 74-year-old resident of Kyiv.
The worst feeling we had was during the first days of the war, when there was a danger that our so-called friends would get here. But as for now, we have only some disruptions. We'll get over it.
Today, there's been a Russian bombardment of Kherson, which has killed at least 4 people and wounded 10. And in Kyiv, the previous day's aerial onslaught on Ukraine's power grid has left around 70% of the capital region with neither water nor electricity. Some are going to what authorities are calling invincibility centres, which offer heating, powered spaces and hot meals. Kyiv resident Natalia says there are many people who need food and to do simple things like charge their phones.
We need 1 or 2 plug-ins or adapters to which you can connect many gadgets for charging. This is necessary because, unfortunately, there aren't enough charging points here. It is very important.
More than 4,000 of these centres have been opened across the country, but others are turning to privately owned spaces that have opened their doors to those in need and are trying to be creative in finding power sources. Salatia Svida is the manager of the cooperative co-working space.
After yesterday's attack, we lost power for the first time since October 10th. But we have managed to set up a small generator which we had acquired. Now we are waiting for a big generator with a capacity of 100 plus kilowatts. It's the size of a car.
Power, heat and water are gradually coming back elsewhere. Regional authorities have been posting messages on social media, updating people on the progress of repairs. But with many homes and health services still without regular power, there are tough choices being made. Mm-hmm. This morning, Ukrainian doctors performed urgent heart surgery in the middle of a power outage on a three-month-old baby. Ilya Yemets is the cardiovascular surgeon in charge of the operation at the Children's Heart Hospital in Kyiv.
The most terrible situation that I ever seen in my surgical life because of stopped electricity, stopped the water supply, stopped the warming. And I explained it to parents that we have a choice not to do nothing and baby will die or to give a chance.
That kind of quiet defiance is everywhere, says resident Oksana Poroshak. She says Ukrainians are determined to survive because they regard the alternative as so much worse.
I think this only proves how strong we are and what we are ready for. We are ready to endure anything. Kyiv has no water, no power, but no Russians either, which is the most important thing.
Deborah Grok, SBS News.